Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everyone. It's Monday, June 19th at 6 a.m. It's been a while since I've been on, but we are in Joshua 6 today. I'm going to ask Nicole, if you don't mind reading, and then we'll pray and jump into this. Thank you.
Okay, good morning. Joshua 6, I am reading out of the NIV version, starting in verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance. March around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her, in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brother and sisters, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath. Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land.
Okay, thank you, Nicole. It's quite a long chapter, but as we know, a lot of us know the story. Let me just change something here. There we go. Okay, so leading up to Joshua 6, previous chapters, we had Joshua 1 through 5, where Joshua was commissioned as the leader. Israelites, we had the story of, and we saw it here again, the two spies that were sent in, the account of the Rahab in the city. We had the Israelites crossing over the river. The memorial stones were set up, and there was a time of renewal and preparation. So all of that was leading up to Joshua 6, where they're in the promised land, and they're starting to take the land that God's giving them. So let us jump into this chapter. Okay, so a couple of things, key things we can learn from Joshua 6. So I think the first thing I want to talk about is obedience to God brings victory. So we see that Joshua is given specific instructions. Joshua follows them. There's no hesitation, no modification. And a couple of things to notice here. This plan is not a military plan, right? So typically a military plan would be siege weapons, you know, different types of tactics. But marching and shouting aren't typical tactics for warfare. So as we can see, like, God's plan is very specific. And Joshua and his men are obedient to the plan that they're given. So not a typical strategy. And if we think about this, you know, God sometimes calls us to steps of faith that don't make sense by worldly standards, right? So, for example, loving our enemies. Not something most people are crazy about, but that's what God calls us to do. Forgiving someone who hurt us, right? Not typical worldly standard, but you know, a godly standard. Giving sacrificially, waiting patiently, all things that the world doesn't really align with. So obedience to God sometimes doesn't feel logical, but it's where we meet God's power, right? So it's in that step of obedience that we can align and meet God's power. So it's not about having the perfect strategy, but it's about trusting God's voice and responding with faithful action. Okay, so obedience, even when God's commands seem impractical, leads to breakthrough, right? That's how we get to breakthrough. Trusting God's plan over human reasoning leads to success, just like Joshua did. Okay, so obedience to God brings victory. All right, the second thing I want to take out of this is, who fights the battle? God fights the battle, right? So the victory was not won by military strength, but completely by divine intervention. Israel didn't going to put my camera off for a second. Israel didn't conquer. Where am I? So the victory was not won. I'm gonna find my place. Israel didn't conquer Jericho because of their might, but they watched God move when they followed his lead. Yeah, so we often try to fight battles in our own strength. And as we know, that's usually not the best way. So whether the battle is emotional, relational, or spiritual. But Joshua 6 reminds us that it's God who brings the walls down. So he invites us to participate in the process. Right, here's what we need to do. But he's the one who makes the impossible possible. So our job is faithfulness, right? So we have to walk in faith, practice and exercise our faith, but the outcome belongs to God. Okay, so in our own battles, emotional, spiritual, relational, the win doesn't depend on our striving, but really it depends on our surrender and our faith in God's power. So number two is God fights the battle. Okay, let's go to number three. The third thing we can learn from Joshua in this chapter is that faith requires patience and persistence. And if you were in church yesterday and you heard Pastor Brendan speak, either live or online, oh, what an incredible message, right? On God always being on time. So faith requires patience and persistence. The Israelites showed faith by marching for 7 days with no results until the end. Most of us can't, speaking for myself, I can't do many things for 6 minutes, never mind 7 days, right? And they had to trust that God was working even when nothing seemed to be happening. So, like 3 days, 4 days, nothing, 5 days. On the seventh day, there was no immediate evidence of change, but yet it was coming. That's patience and persistence was key to what God was doing. So, another way to say this is faith requires action, right? So, we live in a results driven culture, but we know that spiritual growth and breakthrough often take time, right? You might be praying, serving, or giving faithfully without seeing the fruit of what God's doing. But don't give up, right? Because God works in the hidden ways before his power is revealed openly. So keep walking because your seventh day is coming, right? God's going to do what he's going to do exactly on time. So application here. Faith isn't passive. It requires persistence, right? Patience, even when the results are not immediate. And God might be working behind the scenes in your life. So keep walking in obedience, even when the walls don't fall down right away. Excuse me. Okay. Number four. And I think we're going to talk quite a bit on this one. God's timing is perfect, right? So we see that God lays out this plan and he had this timing exactly figured out. And God's timing often requires waiting and walking first. The Israelites were instructed to walk around Jericho once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day, without seeing any visible progress until God's timing was perfect. So God's timing doesn't always come with instant results. Often he asks us to walk in obedience before the breakthrough comes. The walls didn't fall after day one or day six. They fell on the appointed day in God's timing. So The reminder here is just because nothing seems to be happening doesn't mean that God isn't working, right? His timing teaches us to trust. So God's timing is perfect. Okay. Kind of a sub point under God's timing. So some of you might know that, and I'm not at church, I'm often in the gym. And one of the things I do at the gym is I teach a spinning class. So for those of you who are familiar with stationary bikes, lots of fun. And one of the things I teach people is that we build muscle, we build strength by having tension over time, right? So tension over prolonged times is how we build strength, how we build endurance. And in a very similar way, obedience over time builds faith. It's something we have to exercise, right? Obedience, 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 time after time. And that's how we build our faith. So, excuse me, the daily marching wasn't only about reaching a destination or a conclusion. It was about developing the discipline of trusting God's pace, right? So God's timing is often a process rather than a moment. And the waiting, right? The waiting shapes our character, it purifies our motives, and it brings us into alignment, brings our hearts into alignment with God's. So faith isn't proven in what we do once. It's proven in what we continue to do day after day, even when we don't see the outcome, right? So obedience over time builds faith. Okay, next point under God's timing is perfect is God's timing reveals his glory more clearly. So when the walls of Jericho fell down, it was unmistakably God's doing, right? No, nobody else could have done that. No human effort. And the delay and the unusual method made it obvious that only God could have made it happen. So God's timing ensures that he gets the glory, right? So he often delays action until it's clear that the victory could not have come by human strength. So sometimes God waits so that when he moves, there's no mistaking that it was his hand, right? And his delay is often part of his design for something even greater, greater glory. I really liked John 4:13, where it says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name." And let's just clarify that, not whatever you ask for fun, so that my Father in heaven may be glorified in the Son. So God gives us things in his name so that he might be glorified, so that we might know that it's God's glory that's coming through. Okay. Let's keep going. Okay, so God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect even when it's unclear to us. So from the outside, sometimes God's instructions seem strange, just like this story, right? Each step was perfectly timed, the marching, the trumpet blast, the shout, the collapse. And because God can see the full picture, we can't. And sometimes we only see a little piece, and his instructions are never random. And I love this statement, his delays are never careless. Because trusting God's timing means accepting that his perspective is higher and his plan is more complete than ours. So God's timing is perfect even when it's unclear to us. Okay, last point about God's timing. God's timing includes preparation before possession. Right, think about Joshua and the Israelites. If we look back in Joshua, I think it was Joshua 5. Yeah, there was a time of preparation, a time of purification, right? So there was preparation before possession. Before the Israelites could possess Jericho, we say that correctly, they had to prepare spiritually and physically. So the waiting days were not wasted. They were days of alignment with God's will. So sometimes God delays a breakthrough because he's preparing us for what's coming next. So here's what we need to ask God. So don't just ask God when. Ask God, what are you preparing in me while I wait? Right? So often God wants to do something in us before he gives us what he's going to give us. So God's timing includes preparation before possession. Let's summarize that piece real quick. So, God's timing teaches us to trust, even when we don't see results, to walk in daily obedience and persistence, to recognize that delays might magnify or increase God's glory. That we should embrace preparation as part of the process, and that we should let go of our own timelines and rest in his perfect plan. Okay, so that's a summary of God's timing. Okay, the next thing I want to look at is the power of unity. So we see the Israelites acting in unison. In with discipline, unity of purpose. And this is really interesting because the victory required the whole community to participate together, right? Everyone had a role. We had the priests, we had the warriors, we had the people all moving in sync with God's instruction. And unity doesn't mean sameness. It means harmony in diversity, right? So even though we're all different, we have different gifts, we come together for one purpose. And God uses different people in different roles, but each role is essential for the mission to succeed. So we also see in this story that unity requires submission to an appointed person or plan. It was Joshua in this case. And we see that there's no record in this account of protest, alternative plans. Everyone came together with different roles, different skills. They came together under the leadership of the appointed person. Something also interesting is the Israelites were silent until instructed. And so sometimes unity is maintained not just by what we do, but what we stop doing, right? Gossip, criticism, venting, our doubts, whatever it is, right? Sometimes unity is maintained by what we stop doing. Okay. Another thing to consider is that unity doesn't just affect the moment. It impacts someone's future or everyone's future, right? Division delays victory. Unity delivers it. So the more we choose unity, the more the people around us are blessed, our family, our church, our whatever, right? Our city, our teams. So application here is there's power in unified obedience. And sometimes our breakthrough is tied to moving together with others in faith and unity for a combined purpose, right? So think about the building in Egg Harbor Township, right? It took unity, combined sense of purpose and drive to get it done. Right, so great things happen when people work together in obedience and trust. The question for you over here is, what can I do or stop doing to be more in unity with what God is doing? And so think about that. So what is God doing? How can I be a part of that? How do I support that? And what is it that I need to do? So ask God, God, what do I need to start doing? What do I need to stop doing? Right, so that in unity we can achieve God's purposes for us. Okay, next point I want to pull out of this chapter is God keeps his promises, right? So God promised the land Jericho to Israel, and he fulfills that promise exactly as he said. And this is the beginning of Israel's conquest and inheritance, right? So this is the beginning of what God was doing. God never forgets what he promises, right? Sometimes we might grow weary or tired, but God is always at work preparing the way. Whether you're holding on to promises about your future, your family, your calling, just trust that God finishes what he starts, right? Delayed does not mean denied. I'm going to say that again. Delayed does not mean denied. Okay, God is faithful. What he promises, he will fulfill, even if the process seems strange or slow. Right? God's word can be trusted even when circumstances seem impossible. So hang on to those promises, right? Because God is always on time. All right, I have one more point on this chapter I want to pull out of it. And it's specifically around Rahab, right? So Rahab is a person of, let's call it ill repute, right? Someone who would not move in typical circles. Well, I would say religious circles, right? And she's called Rahab the prostitute. But yet God has a plan for her and redemption, right? Let me phrase it this way. God honors faith, right? So amid judgment, God shows mercy to those who trust him, right? There is always grace for those who look for it. So Rahab and her family were saved just as promised, showing God's justice and grace can coexist. So I think what I like to take away from this is the story, Rahab story reminds us that no one is too far from God's grace, right? A past didn't disqualify. In fact, a faith placed her in the lineage of Jesus. If you look at Matthew 1:5, so God sees hearts turn toward him, and he always responds to that by turning towards those people with faith and redemption. So your past doesn't define your future, faith does. Okay? So God sees and honors faith no matter your past. He redeems and protects those who trust in him. And God is just, right? God is love. He is merciful to those who fear him and respond to him in faith, just like Rahab did. And if we go back to Joshua 2. Okay, how are we doing? Everyone still okay? Okay, so I've got a few final questions for you here. So as we consider everything that we've just pulled out of Joshua 6, what is something in my life where I need to trust God's unusual strategy, right? Maybe God's doing something in a way you weren't expecting, right? But what is that thing, and how can I recognize that God is at work and his timing is perfect, his ways are perfect? Think about what is that thing that God is doing that might be unusual. The second question I have is, am I willing to obey God even when I don't understand the full picture? Because sometimes it's unclear, right? Am I willing to have that faith, right, over time? And then the last one is, how do I respond when God's timing seems slow? Okay, remembering that God's always on time, right? God is working for us. And what I need to change is there something I need to start doing or stop doing? So Gang, I want to thank you for being with us this morning. I do want to pray for us. And so let's just close this time out with prayer. So, Father, we thank you for the life of Joshua. We thank you for a man who trusted in you, a man who listened to non-typical instructions. But, Father, it was for your glory. Your way is always perfect. And so, Father, as we look at the story and we look at our own lives, Father, we look for those things that seem untypical. We look for those things that seem like the timing isn't there, but really it's your timing. So, Father, we pray that we would have faith over time, Father, that we would build that endurance, that we would remember your ways are higher than ours. Your ways are different to ours, and your ways are always perfect. And maybe there's something in us that you want to develop in the time of preparation, the time of waiting. And so, Father, we pray for each one that the breakthroughs would come, whatever they are, that breakthroughs are based on faith and perseverance. So, Father, we commit each one to you. We commit this day to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, everyone. Have a great day and be like Joshua.